Smash your FM radio. Indy 100 rocks.
Everybody, it's Tyrone Tan here on StarRoseEntertainment.tv, Indy100.com Radio, and UBN. And I just want to say thank you to all the listeners from around the world that are tuning in my show. And it's because of you guys I get to do what I do. And I'm always grateful and appreciative on all your guys' listenership. We're going to have a great show for you guys today. If you're into cool films or maybe books, we got my dear friend Elizabeth Blake Thomas coming into the studio. But before that, we want to do a couple of plugs. Again, if you want to see a lot more celebrity interviews or back archive shows, go to our main production website, which is at www.starroseentertainment.tv. That's www.starroseentertainment.tv. Also, if you want to see our in-studio guest photos, such as our guest of the hour, director and author, Elizabeth Blake Thomas, go to our Facebook page over at Star Rose Entertainment. Also, if you want to have, if you'd like to send any nice comments, maybe fan mail, anything like that, email me at tyrone.indy100@gmail.com. That's tyrone.indy100@gmail.com. Also, if you like the music we're going to be playing today, also let me know. Email me at tyrone.indy100@gmail.com. And then last but not least, if you want to hit me up on socials, you can. That's at Tyrone Tan, TyroneTa. N as in Nancy, over on Twitter. And then thanks to the hacker there. That's at Tyrone Tan Official over on Instagram. And then there's a thing called Threads. If you want to check me out, Tyrone Tan Official over on Threads. And then last but not least, there's Facebook, Tyrone Tan over on Facebook. All right. Without further ado, since we have a great guest coming on, I thought we'd bring in not just one, but two guest co-hosts of the hour as well. First off, longtime seasoned guest co-host, we got
seasoned guest. Because I'm on my age?
No. You've just been on a lot of times, and you haven't gotten any hate mail yet so far. We got my dear friend, actor Luis Delgado. Welcome back, man.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. And also, well, in contrary to that, some hate mail maybe. We got my dear friend, actor Brad Adams. Welcome back, my man.
Thank you.
Well, you guys both been on, you know, Lewis obviously a lot, and Brad, you've been on a couple times already. And
yeah, when you like me.
Yeah, you know, it's those moods. He's like a mood ring, and then sometimes it'll come up and be like, oh, Brad, okay, we'll bring on Brad. No, anyways. So for those, again, that haven't heard from you in a bit, Brad, you're the one that hasn't been on for a bit. Tell the audience a little bit about yourself before we bring in our guest of the hour.
Well, you know, I've been on a couple times to promote some things, to come on just to help you out. And yeah, I love coming here. I love you, Ty, and I love our friendship. But I think the last time I was on was maybe 2-3 months ago.
And what were you working on?
What am I working on?
What were you working on at the time? I'm trying to remember what you were promoting. Or were you just on? Just for fun?
I think I was on just for fun.
Just for fun. Oh, I mean, what a dear friend. Yeah. He was just on for fun. But you got some stuff cooking, man. You just finished up. You booked a couple stuff and you finished a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. Lucky enough that I've been fortunate enough to have a couple things that I'm working on that are going to be shooting starting next year.
Okay.
Things that I'm hoping that pan out.
But also, the last time you were here, you either took off to do a film.
Yeah, Enthralled.
Enthralled, that was it. Okay.
So that's finishing up soon.
That's a feature.
They said they were going to have a director's cut out this month.
Okay.
So.
And that's a psychological thriller?
Yeah, psychological thriller.
Okay,
yeah,
and then you filmed in what, Arkansas?
Arkansas, yeah.
Awesome.
Home state.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And then you got something else. Did you get something else? It's hard to keep track with you, my man. You know, sometimes, you know, I'm even lucky I got a call. No? No, I'm teasing. I'm even lucky that you're here. No, I'm teasing. And you are going to be doing something else as well. Or can we tell the audience there's a big thing that's happening for you, like in May?
I'm getting married.
You're getting married?
I'm getting married. She's great. I am so excited. We've been together for 6 years. She dropped everything and moved out here with me. And she did all of that within literally a day. You know, it's kind of crazy. Literally within a day, she goes, you know what? I'm going. Wait, what? And she unenrolled in school, quit her job, packed up the U-Haul, and then she didn't tell her parents till we were in Arizona.
Wow. Well, congratulations. I don't know if...
it was some rough patches.
Well, obviously, she's obviously here. She's very, very well established in the...
doing an amazing job. Yeah, she's so good at what she does. And
she does a lot of the events, a lot of the movies.
She's an event producer, so she right now she's working on something pretty big that they're hoping to get. But, she's awesome. Killing it at her job.
Well, congratulations. And again, want to check you out, how can they check you out?
Instagram, just Brad Adams. Brad Adams on Facebook. I think the same as Threads.
He's too big now.
I just don't get on.
Manager has to take care of that.
and then we got here also my dear friend, Louis Delgado, actor. Welcome back.
It's Brad Adams on Threads. I'm your manager. I'm joking.
So, Louis, what's been going on since the last time you've been here?
Not too much.
Awesome. Well, we just came back from a premiere, which we were at Warner Brothers, just across the street. Yeah, we were at a premiere called Holiday in the Vineyards. Holiday in the Vineyards. It's on Netflix. Actually, well, the quick little plug. Yeah, it was Holiday in the Vineyards. It's on Netflix. We were just at that premiere covering that, and. But this week was a crazy week. We got to meet. You know, we
forget.
You know, Viola Davis. Davis.
Oh, yeah. She was nice.
Yeah. she's only an EGOT Awards winner. Viola Davis. Duran Duran the other day.
From the UK, he came all over here to visit.
just for you.
Yes, sir.
Who else was this week? Someone else that you were. I know that was pretty cool. Anyways, but
I've been blessed. Obviously, to meet a lot of people.
Yeah. And then you got some stuff cooking as well in the new year?
I think so. I don't even know what I have, dude.
Well, how can people check you out?
Yeah, just go to Instagram at Louis Delgado and Facebook.
All right. Well, cool. Well, I'm excited for today's guest. You both have met this lovely person. But before that, we want to do a couple movie reviews. Have you by any chance? It's the strike's over, so we could talk about some movies out there. Before we were trying to, you know, keep it to like independent films. But have you seen any movies lately? Brad or Lewis in the theater?
I mean, I haven't seen any, but I can tell you some that I'm excited about. Iron Claw that's coming out.
Okay.
We talked about this a couple days ago. I'm kind of upset. They pushed back the Bike Riders. I was super excited about that. But,
By any chance, have you guys seen the new Godzilla movie, Godzilla Minus One? Okay. I saw that. I'll review that really quickly. So Godzilla Minus One.
What were you going to say? I said, we're in the movie business, right? We should be watching movies.
So here we go. So Godzilla Minus One. I'll do a quick review before we begin our guest of the hour. So again, thanks to IMDb here. Again, Godzilla Minus One rated PG-13. Here's a little quick synopsis. Thanks to IMDb. Post-war Japan is at its lowest point when a new crisis emerges in the form of a giant monster baptizing the horrific power of the atomic bomb, directed by Takashi Yamazaki and starring Manami Hamabe, Ryunosuke Kamiki, Sakura Ando. I do apologize if I'm mispronouncing, but I'm doing the best I can. A plethora of great actors. And here's the thing. I'm not the biggest Godzilla fan. I did grow up with Godzilla, and I have some Godzilla merchandise in my place. And obviously, I love Godzilla in that sense, but I'm not like watched every movie Godzilla. But I did check this out, and I would have to say it's probably, to be honest, one of the best Godzilla movies I've ever seen. And I know that's people are like, oh, it's actually deeper than just the Godzilla monster. There's actually a really good story there. People were crying in the theater. The effects. It was more Japanese made, I believe, and it's just the effects. Everything. It was different. And so I so far it's been getting great reviews, high up there on the tomato meter on Rotten Tomatoes. And I thought it was just me, and then I started reading a bunch of people loving it as well. And so I got to check it out. And so I say, if you could check it out, have you guys have seen it yet?
No.
All right. Well, I say highly recommend checking out Godzilla Minus One. It's out there in the theaters. And anyone that I've talked to about it has said the same thing. They were surprised that it's actually as good as it is. And it's like you said, it's not the very typical Godzilla movie. Yes, there's the monster and all that kind of good stuff, but there's actually a very human story there that is kind of a tearjerker that I think people wouldn't expect. And so I say check it out.
Awesome. You know what? I actually lied. I did.
Oh, so that we got.
I forgot. I went and saw the new Hunger Games.
Oh, okay.
I don't know which. It's the new one that's out. Okay. I thought both actors were really strong. I thought it was a great movie. I think it was really great for the prequels.
Okay. And you've seen the original ones?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So are you more a Hunger Game fan or a Twilight fan?
Twilight. Okay. Twilight, yeah.
Awesome. Well, would you recommend checking out the new Hunger Games?
Yes.
Okay. Well, cool. Well, I would have got into that a little bit deeper, but you know what? I want to tell you.
Yeah, my
ship has passed. Sorry.
I'm joking. But well, listen, I don't want to eat up into this into my guest's time. You know, but since Brad, you gotta keep up with the program.
No,
there.
Speaking of ships.
But what I want to do, I want to get more deep dive into our guest of the hour. She's a dear friend. I've been seeing her on the carpets for the last several years, and her daughter was actually in the studio. Isabella Blake Thomas was in here, so we want to say what's up to her, you know, wherever she is out there. We want to say what's up, you know, she's out there. You know, this is the other part of they talked about her production company before. I believe it's Mother Daughter Productions, and so we had the daughter of that company, and now we got the mother of Mother Daughter Productions in the studio. We're going to talk more about her. So I don't know, guys. Obviously you guys know the drill. We want to let the guests of the hour make them feel special. So we want to bring them in a special way. I don't know if you arranged a way, Brad Adams, I mean, as a guest co-host, or Lewis, or I could always go to plan B. How do you think we should – did you arrange a way? Did you get the memo, Brad? Or Lewis.
Yeah.
The memo.
I said speaking of ships.
The guest co-host of the hour arranges a way to make the guest of the hour to make them feel special. So how did you arrange a way to make this guest of the hour? And for those that have just tuning in for the first time, sometimes you bring people in on Millennium Falcons, limos, hang gliders, etc. What way did you arrange a way to make this guest of the hour make her feel special?
Well, I arranged a big old yacht.
A yacht? Yes. Wow, really? Awesome. Well, you know, it's funny. I don't know if you know, but she actually lives, if I recall, like out of a marina with some boats. But so you upgraded to...
See, I did my research.
Oh,
there
wow.
You go.
Okay, so yeah. So a yacht, and I hope it's a nice yacht.
Oh, big.
Big yacht. Nice, okay. Yeah. So is that why I saw something like floating out there, mm-hmm. and you know, out there, and somewhere you're somehow bringing it in, and you got the, you rented out water and everything?
Oh, yeah. It's not no LA River out there.
Awesome. So what we're going to read, we're bringing her in on a yacht. I don't think we ever, I think your first time ever, someone's bringing someone
on
a Millennium Falcon,
time.
But not on a yacht. So for on the count of three, you'll open up that hatch over there, and then you're going to whistle in the captain to bring her in, and we've got a bunch of fanfare over there. So just a little background really quick. She is a director. She's an author. She's got two features out called The Hunk Club and Kara Leak. And then she's also got a book called Living with Intentions. But we're going to talk more about all that. And she's got a lot of other stuff going on. So what we're going to do, we're going to bring her in. So on the count of three, whistle in, open up that hatch. Okay, here we go. One, two, and three. Uh-oh. Here she comes. In on a yacht.
Yeah.
Look at, she's waving to everybody out there. Look at all that fan. Look at all those fans. They're throwing in like roses at her and everything like that. Oh, she's somehow signing some autographs and selfies. Oh my gosh, there they are. This guy's throwing numbers at her. I don't know. Hey guys, I don't know if she's shaking or what, but oh my gosh. They're taking down their shirts too. That says, I love Elizabeth, or EBT.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
No, anyway, here she comes. She's walking down off the yacht, waving to all the fans. Here she comes in the studio. She is a director. She is an author of the new book, Living with Intentions, and films, feature films, The Hunk Club and Kara Leak that are out there. Here she is coming in the studio, my dear friend, Elizabeth Blake Thomas.
Yeah.
Welcome, Elizabeth Blake Thomas, to StarRoseEntertainment.tv, Indie100.com Radio, and UBN.
Woo. Hello. my gosh, that is great. Although I do feel a little seasick.
Oh, really?
Actually.
Well, you know, I love how you were propped up on the yacht, just exactly like Titanic.
It had to be full Titanic mode. Exactly. Although it doesn't quite work when it's my dog holding me in that position. I kind of lose the romanticness from it.
Well, I mean, in a way.
But you love your dog just as much as you probably love Jack Dawson.
Almost more.
Awesome. Well, speaking of, what's the name of your dog?
She's called Chai. She's sitting here ready next to me. Everybody would know that. They'd be quite surprised if she wasn't next to me.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, hi, Chai. I have a dog, and I love bringing her around if I can all the time, but that's cool.
Yeah, she comes everywhere. I mean, as you've seen her on the red carpet.
Yes.
She was in Cannes at the red carpet there.
Oh, wow. Well, I don't know any other dog. Yeah. Lewis can't even get on the red carpet.
There we go again. Cannes.
Brad, you can get on the red carpet. You had other cans, but we got the dog here. But you would take some tips from the dog.
She can fill you in with how she does it.
Hey, wow. the more I know, the better.
Well, the last movie she did was with Mickey Rourke, you see.
Oh, wow.
So she was actually...
She's got better credits than I do.
This is a show about Chai. Yeah.
So, Elizabeth Blake Thomas, great to finally have you here. I know we've been working on this for a while. I mean, I know you had your lovely daughter, Isabella Blake Thomas, wherever she is. I'd love to give her a shout out. She's awesome.
She was in here.
So to give her a hello.
Well, she's pretty important as part of the mother and daughter.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, it doesn't work if I don't have one or the other. But I did like the way you said the mother. I wanted to say the mother of all mothers. That's what I am.
So that's how you guys came up with that name. I was wondering.
I know. It was hard to figure it out, wasn't it? I know. Well, especially she didn't want me to call it the Mother and Dog Entertainment Company.
Awesome. Well, what we want to do, I don't know if you got the mail. If your people talk to my people. Did you get the memo? The memo is we'd like to start off with a very hard-hitting question. So I don't know if your daughter even filled you in on this or, you know, maybe she reminded you. But here's the hard-hitting question, guys. Okay, ready? Here we go. So for fans to get to know you better, we'd like to start off with this. The icebreaker is, where were you born and raised?
I love it. I thought you were going to ask me what my favorite color was, and I was like, oh my God. Born and raised, well, you can hear I am from the UK. So I was born on the East Coast, a little place called Suffolk. And then I lived there for a few years and before I moved into the centre of England and then down to London. So I kind of did a little triangle there.
Wow.
But yeah, the East Coast, not many people know it.
Wow. Now, did you know growing up you always wanted to be an entertainer, a director or a filmmaker or author? Or?
No, the first thing I wanted to do was be a vet. And wow. I told my father this and he said, you know that you have to stick your hand up a cow's bottom. So I quickly changed my mind. I didn't want to be a vet. But I did always like, you know, performing and reading and acting. And I thought that I was going to be in front of it. And then once again, my father told me, I think I was about 10 or 11, he said, you're a terrible actor. So I realized that wasn't where my career was heading either. And so I also like to tell people what to do. And therefore, directing was kind of natural instinct of running a theatre company and being the person behind the decisions. I do enjoy that. So that's kind of naturally where it led. My creativity and put that together and you become a director.
Ah, now who are your inspirations growing up as a filmmaker or, you know, or even an author? Because I know that's part of your titles as
if
well.
If I'm going to tell you, you mustn't laugh, okay? So, are you ready? Mary Poppins.
Oh.
Okay, they're good at keeping straight faces. Julie Andrews is just like my idol. And then all the singing ones, like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I mean, I actually was going to change my name to Truly Scrumptious at one stage.
Wow.
I just think that's so cool. Imagine saying that. Hi, what's your name? Truly Scrumptious.
Oh, there's nothing to laugh at. Actually, I'm a huge fan of Julie Andrews, as well as Sound of Music. So I hear you. I mean,
okay.
So I mean, I actually, you know, I don't, a little factoid. I don't know if you've heard of an actress named Brittany Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
So how we connected one time, I never met her before at the time, and they wanted me to pick her up for some event, and I pick her up with her mom. She just moved out here from where she's from. She was like 14, 15, and we're driving to this event, but it's like a 3-5 hour drive to the snow, and she's like, "Do you have any music in here?" I'm like, "Yeah." She checked my glove box, and this is back in the day with cassette tapes, and she's looking through all these. I have, like, you know, music from like NWA to whatever. Then she sees the Sound of Music soundtrack, and she's like, "Do you like Sound of Music?" And I'm like, yeah. And she's, do you mind if I play it? She pops it in, and we play the Sound of Music all the way to the strip, and that's how we bonded, singing Sound of Music.
You can't help but bond over it. Yeah, I mean, so, I put it on when I'm on my own in the car and sing very loudly. So that's that influence. And then books, I'd say things like Malcolm Gladwell. I love all Malcolm Gladwell books. And then that kind of started me on the world of nonfiction. And I just love nonfiction. Anything to do with Buddhism, Ikigai, Kabbalah, anything spiritual. I'm just rereading The Alchemist at the moment, you know, anything like that. So I think both of those worlds actually take me to a place where I'm in that fantasy musical world and then this non-fiction spiritual world, to kind of the same place, a place of feeling safe and like exploration, you know.
So then how did you get from obviously that, and then what was your first dive into filmmaking? I mean, was there, you know, was there a party that just I just got to start directing?
No, it was, I blame my daughter. So
the one that's not here, yeah, Isabella
Blake.
Yeah,
the one Blake that's
Thomas.
Not here. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So basically, I was always theatre, and I didn't know the film and TV world, if I'm honest. And she got her first gig when she was 4 years old, presenting a TV show. And again, I still didn't connect that this was quite cool, because I just was a mother. And it was only when she was in a film and she was about 7 years old, and the director saw me coaching her and said, would you mind coaching the other actors? I was like, yeah, sure. So I started to understand that the acting was a similar vibe with the directing, but obviously I didn't know anything technical. And so 7 years ago, I decided to contribute to assisting my daughter with a career, thinking, well, I kind of know this stuff, so maybe I could put something together. We'd gone to festivals together and I knew people, and I managed to get some money together, $250,000 for the first film.
Oh, only $250,000.
And I know, I make that sound very flippant, don't I?
I just managed to.
Yeah, just, you know, went into my own pocket under the bed. But that, the person I can blame for being a director is Sean McNamara, who is directed Soul Surfer and all that, very, very close friend of mine and was my partner for a while. And he is the one that said, you should be a director. And I said to him, how do I become a director? And he said, you just say you're a director. So that's Hollywood for you people. Yeah. Okay, yeah. That's it. You don't need to go to school. Just say you're a director.
So what was that first film?
That was called Trust, Pray, Hope, which actually is never going to be seen. I have it because, again, when we all know how this industry works, sometimes you have producers who might not want to complete projects or might not know how to or have input on something that could take a long time to get out there. Mm-hmm. But he gave me the best advice, which was the next one, which he said, now make your next one. So I immediately got some friends together and I said, listen, instead of paying for a summer school for our kids, why don't we put the money together and we'll make Pretty Outrageous? And I love that movie, and that's available everywhere. And that was when it was 1080, not even 2K.
Wow. Well, before I can do, Mr. Brad Adams or Louis Delgado, guest co-host, do you have any questions for Elizabeth Blake Thomas, director?
I love the fact they're literally sitting, looking and going, wow. Ooh, like I'm teaching them.
Well, one thing I want to ask you, like, was that from you got the $250,000 from your spiritual bank? Or like, how do you, like...
Yeah, it's a private spiritual bank. No, actually, well, that's a big lesson in itself.
Yeah, yeah.
Because joking apart, that and all my next 4 or 5 films were from people that funded them that I didn't know when I knew them that was what was going to happen. And so there's one of those philosophies, which is, if you're good in this world, if you're kind, if you work hard, and you treat people well, even though you don't know what that purpose is, 5-6 years later, in fact, one of them was 15 years later, someone gave me money for a film because I taught their son 15 years previously. So you never know what comes around. So that's a really important aspect of both the book and the spiritual bank.
Kind of like reaping what you sow, right?
Exactly, exactly.
Awesome.
Exactly.
Brad Adams, before we continue.
I'm interested. So what came first, being the author or being the director?
So I would say the theatre actor, that was first. Then I ran my own theatre company. Then whilst I was running classes for drama, I actually wrote a children's book. So that was kind of all together. Then I had my daughter, and that was the catalyst for the industry change because she was in film and TV. The books kind of got put on hold, but I was always creating something and writing ideas and coming up with things. I would just note them in a book somewhere.
Well, and the only reason I ask is just because I feel like to write a book is just so difficult. I mean, it takes a lot of time and effort, and I commend anybody that does it. I mean, I think it's extremely interesting.
It does. You're right. And it's a whole different process. Yes. And I have to take myself away from life to do it. So over July 4th, I'd written for my next book, Life, Love, Loss, Lessons from My Dog. So I'd written all the, I call them episodes, not chapters. I'd written all the episodes. And then when I sat there and I did 4 days nonstop of rough writing. So then I need to come away from it. And then you go back to it and you do another week of it. And then you come away for 6 months. And so it is a totally different process, unlike the movie, which is someone wants to give me money. I can make that. And you're doing it, you know, immediately.
What do you think is harder to do? And I think you've done both. And correct me if I'm wrong. But you've written scripts as well, correct?
Yeah,
what do you think was harder, writing a script, a feature, or the book, or a book?
I would actually probably say the feature, because the book is from inside me. It's me. It's my heart. It's either a memoir or it's the intentional exercises that I already have that are in existence. A script, anybody can write a script, but it's writing a good script. Yeah. And I think that's the difference. We've written scripts. I wrote League of Legend Keepers, which we mentioned before we went on the air, and Sand Angels. I wrote those two scripts in 3 days. And that was where someone offered me some money for a movie. I'd given them an idea. I said, I've got this great idea and I've written this script. And they said, here's some money. And I thought, oh my God, now I have to write it. So I literally had to write these scripts. It was my hands, after 3 days for two features, actually stopped working. I actually caused like carpal syndrome or whatever that is. Yeah.
Carpal tunnel?
Yeah, exactly. I my hands wouldn't move. But so I think to write a good script, to write a bad script, I can write a vomit draft easily, but a good one. Yeah.
That's awesome. So when you go into, like, let's say what was your first, obviously the first feature that you did, you didn't really want to release or anything. Then you went, what was your second one that you got into?
So the first one I would love to release, but she's not wanting to. The second one, Pretty Outrageous.
Okay.
I love that. That's online. And then I think it went League of Legend Keepers, Sand Angels. And then it kind of just keeps going. And I loved it when I got to the point where I couldn't remember what I'd directed. Wow. Or no. How many.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's talk about, how did you form, where did the production company come into play? Because there's not many, and I don't think I've even, I've been in this industry for 35 years. I don't think I even know of a mother and a daughter. I've seen, have people that I know that have production companies, but not a mother and daughter production, which I think is very special and unique. At least, you know, they haven't told me. So, but how did that form? And when did you say, you know what? Because sometimes parents and kids, they don't want to work together, so to speak. Sometimes they'll act together, but like to actually form a production company, that's a bond in itself. So when did you guys start to say, let's form a production company? When did you think she was old enough to understand that concept?
Yeah, well, I realized that because I had the films that were already part of what we were doing, I wanted to create an umbrella company so that we could have something attached to it. And again, Sean taught me this. He would have a Sean McNamara film and he had Brookwell McNamara Entertainment. And I was like, oh, I was going to copy that. So Elizabeth Blake Thomas film and Elizabeth Blake Thomas film with, you know, featuring mother-daughter entertainment presents. And you just kind of built on that. And I knew that it was important to put those things together so that when people came to me and said, what have you done? I could have it all on a site and it was all there. The age for her to take it over was going to be whenever she felt that she wanted to. But I knew that if I built this for her, she needed that when she was old enough. And she is. And so she's taking it over. And that was great.
Well, what I could say about your daughter, the people that don't know, obviously, just like yourself, very sweet, very humble, but very intelligent. And she for her age, she's so mature of what she's wanting to do. And even when I first met her, interviewed, I already knew. I was like, how old is this girl?
You know, she's, yeah, and it does help to have a business partner like that, if I'm honest.
And she, and the one thing, and even when I, and I could say this so you could be a proud mother, even when I see her when you're not around, she's still a humble, sweet person. And she's very well behaved, very well mannered. And so that's
because I used to keep her in a cage. Yeah, I am joking, everybody. No, but she's, I mean, that's the British sense of humor.
Is that where she is right now? She's, yes, she's
in the cage. Exactly. I only let her out once a day.
Yeah. But we're joking, people, so no hate mail. but that shows, you know, it reflects on, you know, how they are when they're out there on their own.
Very much so. And I wanted to give her this platform because I feel it's really important. As you guys know, we're in this industry. It's flipping hard. And so it's kind of like, well, what are you going to do? Are you just going to act? And I thought she could learn all these tools, producing it. And I always said, you know what? She's going to end up running a studio. Mm-hmm. And in a way she is. And we're creating these films together. And I am very fortunate that I really like her. And she likes me.
You know, I do have a question if we do have time.
Yeah, go for it.
How do you delegate who does what when you guys are starting to produce another film or produce a script, you know?
Oh, that's easy. I'm hopeless at everything.
Yeah.
So she does all of it. it's very much that she is the brains behind it, in the sense of I can be the creative, I can come up with a story. She's very good at putting that on paper. And then if we're having to do even kind of a line producing, UPM style stuff, I can tell her what we need and she'll put it all into the computer and do those kind of things. So we actually have this wonderful a kind of symbiotic relationship because we don't do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And then when we have a creative idea, we can feed off each other as well. But she also contributed with my books. She helps me with that and running my sessions that I run for Living With Intention. She is the brains behind, what do you think about this, Isabella? How does this article sound? What do you... And we just feed off each other. It's huge support.
Wow, now you convinced me that she probably will end up running a studio one day as well.
Well, what we're going to do, we're going to talk more about your new book and also some of your features, because right now they could check out, well, speaking of your production company, how could they check out your production company?
Motherandaughterentertainment.com. Motherandaughterent.com. Mother and Daughter Instagram. Oh, and there's a Facebook too, Mother and Daughter Entertainment.
Okay, cool. And
something
then
like that.
And the films that you have so far that you've done together as a company.
Oh my gosh! I mean, loads of them. But going backwards, we've got one coming out this year soon in 2024, and then we've just had Karolik. We've got
I went to a private screening. Karma's. Can I talk about that?
Yes, you can.
Karma's a bitch.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's the one. And then that's the one I'm really proud of because Isabella wrote it, produced it, starred in it, and I just directed it. And then we've got things like I said, Pretty Outrageous. Maybe I'm Fine. I love that one. Unseen. That was just a short that I did. You were there part of it from the beginning. That just won some awards. Evie Rose. Oh, Just Swipe. Oh, that's my rom-com with Jodie Sweetin. I love that one.
Oh, awesome. How was it like working with Jodie?
Oh, so cool.
Is that out yet?
Yeah, that's out on like Pluto.
Okay,
yeah.
Awesome.
So yeah, lots of those.
Well, cool. What we're going to do, we're going to cut to a music break, and then we're going to come back more with Elizabeth Blake Thomas, director, author. Her new book is called Living With Intentions. We're going to talk more about, but they could check it out. We'll do a little quick plug. How can they check it out?
It's out December 19th with the podcast. It's going to be available online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, everywhere.
Okay, and then also, you got movies such as The Hunt Club on Tubi, and then you got Karolik on Prime?
Yeah, something like that? Yeah,
okay,
that's right.
So, but those are out. You want to check it out? And obviously, most importantly, go to their production website, which is
motherandaughterent.com.
Motherandaughterent.com. So since we're all kind of friends here, so to speak, but we have a mutual friend that I think we all know that I'm going to play his song. I like promoting him because obviously he's someone that we know. You've heard of Alexander James Rodriguez?
Yes. Yeah.
So I thought we'd play a song since we all kind of know him here and honor him and just because we all have mutual friends. So Brad, guest co-host, you want to introduce this song? And he's a great dear friend of ours, but also he's been a guest on the show and I love his mom and she's a great human being and she's out there on the scene and you know Alex is loving this guy as well. I like promoting him. So why don't we introduce this song and then we'll be right back more with Elizabeth Blake Thomas.
All right. The song is California by the great Alexander James Rodriguez.
All right. Cool. Okay. We'll be back more here with Elizabeth Blake Thomas. Again, here is Alexander James Rodriguez with California, and we'll be right back.
All genres, all indie. Listen carefully. The song you are about to hear is an actual independent music submission. Indie 100.
Sun is out and the waves are high. It never rains, so we always shine. Like a dream, and we live it every day. Yeah, yeah. Grab our boards and we're feeling good. In Venice Beach where we're understood. The water's warm and the vibes are great today. Yeah, yeah. Cause this life's a party, like a scene from the movies. Everybody's famous from Malibu to LA. This is California, where you can get. The beautiful girls, NYC has the diamonds and pearls, but in LA it's the best of both worlds. Yeah, 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 yeah. Cause this life's a party, like a scene from the movies. Everybody's famous from Malibu to LA. This is California, where you can get.
We are back. That was Alexander James Rodriguez with the song
California.
Okay, there you go. If you like that song, let me know. Email me at tyrone.indy100@gmail.com. That's tyrone.indy100@gmail.com. But actually, if you really, really like it, check it out. Check him out. Check out his socials. That's Alexander James Rodriguez, I believe, or at Alexander James Rodriguez. Or most importantly, go to Spotify, go to his YouTubes. Check him out. Support him. He's got some great music out as well and great music videos. Dear friend, again, Alexander James Rodriguez with California. Have you heard that song before?
I have, actually. I really like it.
Okay. What about, Lewis, you've obviously heard
it. Yeah, it's really good.
And then, Brad, this is your first time hearing
it? First time.
What do you think?
Oh, I like it a lot.
Cool.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Well, cool. We'll check it out. So again, that's Alexander James Rodriguez with California, but he's got some new stuff out there. Check him out. Support him. Again, he's out there, out in the social media worlds, and then there's music on Spotify and all that kind of good stuff. All right, we are back with my guest co-host of the hour. We got actor Brad Adams. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Other actor, guest co-host.
Thank you for having me, too.
I didn't even say your name yet.
I'm seasoned, so they already know my voice. Oh, it's Lewis Delgado, so it's all right.
Lewis Delgado and my guest of the hour, the lovely, my dear friend, director and author, Elizabeth Blake Thomas. Welcome back.
Oh, and it's so lovely to be here. And you are so lovely, Tyrone. Oh, honestly.
I appreciate
it. You're such a good guy.
I thank you very much. But it's interesting because I think, you exude this goodness as well, where I think that's why we kind of connect. And I think we hit it off right away. And your daughter, who will have no idea where she is right now, but, you know, she's also such a good person. And I think, those kinds of things kind of.
Let's have that as the foundation, shall we? Goodness and kindness.
Yeah. So, and I don't know where Brad came into the play. In that, so I don't know how he slipped in there. But sometimes, every so often, I'm teasing. He's a good guy. And Lewis, they're really dear friends and good people.
You're
so.
All right.
Yeah,
Lewis. It's all right. That's all right.
No, Lewis is actually a stand-up guy, a very loyal person, as well as Brad Adams. So we could only do that because we like joke each other to kind of keep these, you know, level-headed right here for some of these guys. You know, Brad gets a little ego sometimes. No, he's, I'm so joking.
It's British sense of humor. Yeah. I find this very amusing. I get it.
Yeah, but anyway, so we're back again with Elizabeth Blake Thomas, a director, author. Again, she has movies called The Hunt Club, Carol Leak. And so talk a little bit about, let's say, The Hunt Club. What's that about?
In fact, this is how I met you, I think, because it was unseen. I think that's the first time we met. So that movie is a child trafficking movie because I am an ambassador for a company called Aware Now. And this is about awareness of trafficking. And so Hunt Club actually was a thriller horror version of that same genre. I can't reveal too much because it kind of tells the story, but it's definitely not your usual horror thriller. There is something much deeper to it. And that's why I was able to take it on, because it had a deeper meaning. And Mina Savari, who plays the lead, again, I won't tell you what role she plays because that's the surprise as well. She is wonderful to work with, a very good friend, and she made the experience incredibly enjoyable by being part of it with her. And then you've got these other fabulous people that were part of it, but it's definitely a genre that is seemingly horror and thriller, but has something very serious as an undertone. So yeah, go and watch that if you want to.
And then you got to work with Mina Savari and stuff like that.
She's
so
amazing.
And so for you, were all your films, did you already knew the formula of trying to get certain talent involved, name talent involved to your films, or did you learn that early on, or did you start learning that?
I know that you have to. I mean, it really is. It's all about the names. It's a name game with everything, I think, in Hollywood, whether it's actually behind the camera or in front of it. It's all about what can you bring and putting those pieces together. And so I wasn't involved in that process, but I've definitely, from all of my films, especially the last one, the Karma's a Bitch one, is very much about, okay, who can I bring in? Who's going to elevate it? Mm-hmm. And then the one that we're working on at the moment for next year is this inspirational story. But I immediately knew, because of the caliber of the actor I wanted, I had to get the writer that was Academy winning. Mm. So even if it's behind the camera, as I said, if you bring those pieces together, then you're able to make some magic happen and bring in, you know, bigger budgets.
So then you got The Hunt Club, you got Carol Leak. What's that about?
Carol Leak is a film about a young girl who wants to be a fashion designer. And unfortunately, the world is against her with every decision that she makes. And it's about just really trying to live your dream, live your purpose. And I found it a really beautiful story because it was very simple, and I got to work with my daughter. You know, she played Carol Leak, so again, that's a great experience.
And that's out like on Prime and stuff like that.
Yes,
and then Hunt Club's on Tubi. And then you worked. I think we have a mutual friend, Casper Van Dien, on a project, or is that?
That's right. Yeah, he was in Hunt Club.
Oh, so he's in Hunt Club. Awesome, awesome, cool.
And
then,
love him.
Then also, can we talk a little bit about Karma's a Bitch?
Definitely.
Yeah, which you directed, which is coming out soon.
Yeah, definitely next year. Again, that was such fun because my daughter wrote it, produced it, starred in it, and we worked with some amazing actors. Again, fellow friends here, Rich Ting, and then all the wonderful kids from things like Zombies and the Disney High School Musical film. So it was fun.
Yeah.
Hard work, but fun.
That's awesome. And you got the Candyman in there? Or who was
it? Yeah, Tony Todd.
Tony Todd. He was,
that's right.
That's awesome
as well.
Well, that's cool. That's coming out. So let's talk about your book. It's Living with Intentions.
Yeah.
Tell the audience a little bit what that's about and what inspired you to do that book.
Well, I think that there are several things that have inspired me along my journey. And because of where I am, you know, and we all reflect back and look at what we've achieved and how far we've come, I thought that it would be good to share. And so I wrote a first book called Filmmaking Without Fear, and that was really encouraging people to just go out and make these movies. I was then going to write a second book called Storytelling Without Fear, and instead I just did the podcast. And my third book was going to be called Living Without Fear. And it was only over the last kind of couple of years that I realized that those words have such power that I don't want it to be without fear. I want it to be with intention. And I realized that every decision I made was very clearly based on where am I heading? What is the purpose? What am I wanting to get from this? And everything I do, whether it was directing, whether it was being a mother, whether it was running a company, was all based clearly with this clarity, this purpose, this peace behind everything. And that's what intention is. And what is it that we're doing things for? So I created all these exercises, these handwritten exercises, created these tools, put them all together in a book for everybody to be able to achieve what I believe I've achieved and continue to achieve.
Wow. That's a lot.
That's yeah, awesome. I know it was. I know, I love it. I feel like you guys are so listening to me.
Well, I like that stuff a lot, so he knows me. So.
Well, Lewis, if you have any questions before we wrap up, before I get to my final.
I'm just curious, what was your motivation for like for the spiritual part of it, like spiritual teachers? Who do you look at, into? Who do you admire?
Yeah, it's a good question. Well, I think there are three quick things from that. One is that I think a lot of people wait to have an experience before they start to live a spiritual life. Like, I was going to die from this, or I nearly died from that. Yeah. I didn't want to be that person. I realized it through my experience, which was I was severely bullied. I've been severely bullied in several different circumstances throughout my life, right up until being an adult. And that was where I thought, if I can push through this, I can help others. And so then the people that I would turn to, Kabbalah, mm-hmm. so not just an individual, yeah. the philosophies of Japan, the Ikigai philosophies, mm-hmm. Kintsugi, Wabi Sabi, the way that people look at the simplicity of life and what life is about. So as opposed to a person, it was philosophies and ideologies that I realized I was living by, and it just naturally started to occur within me. And I started to just live my life like that.
Mm. Yeah, like separating yourself from the actual reality.
Exactly, exactly. Because life is hard. In the words of my daughter, life is a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brad Adams, before we wrap up here.
Well, I mean, just going off of one of your answers to Lewis's question, you know, because I'm from a place where you don't get out. You know, Walmart's there, Tyson. There's multiple job. You know,
from Arkansas.
Avenues. From Arkansas. So you don't get out, really. So what I did, literally, I just packed up and moved one day. And same with my fiance. If you were speaking to somebody that was in that situation and you could refer to any part of your book, what would that one part be for somebody who's listening and wants to do something more with their life and not live off of fear?
So two things. One is that I always recognize this when I speak to people, and I say, I'm a girl from Derby. I'm a girl from the middle of England, and I've managed to come over here and do this. So I always utilize myself as kind of the proof of that. But I have something called a pyramid of purpose, which is an actual tool that is really easy to build yourself, because what it does is it changes your perspective and gets you aligned with what you're doing. So for example, the bottom of the pyramid is, what is it that you really want? And that answer doesn't necessarily come straight away, and it might be something that you think you want, and by the time you've done this exercise, you'll realize it's something else. But that's what it's about. It's about starting that process, starting to write things. I have this exercise on my social media channels. But the question is, does whatever it is you're doing lead you closer to whatever that bottom of the pyramid is? So mine at the moment is my book tour. So does coming on this podcast lead me closer to this book tour? Now, I was able to find clarity and find what that purpose was. But again, if you sit there and you really work it out, what brings you write the energy circles. What do I enjoy putting my time into? What do I actually put my time into? It doesn't matter where you are, where you live, what stage of life you're at. We constantly need these check-ins. So when you start working that and getting that clarity, you just start to work towards that. And there are all, as I said, there are all these exercises and tools, but the one thing that's really nice for people to realize is also a pat yourself on the back exercise. So you've got your hand, you draw around your hand, and you write on it things that you're proud of from yourself. And that could just be something from today, or it could be in the year, whatever it is. But it's these reminders that we need around us to recognize how well we're doing. And we're here doing a podcast. Yeah. This is awesome.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. So we have to pat ourselves on the back for that.
Well, because ultimately, what we talked about earlier, the ultimate goal is just to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Do things that make you happy.
Exactly.
Live a life that makes you happy.
Exactly. Joy. Bring you joy.
Well, time is running out here, but we have the wrap-up question here. We always like to ask. I like to ask this on the carpet. I've asked you this, but now here on the show, on the radio show, obviously you've been inspired. We want to inspire those. What inspirational messages can you give to someone out there that maybe wants to do what you do, become maybe a director, filmmaker, or an author, or just follow their dreams in general?
Yeah, that's a great question to end on. I have a quote that I would say, first of all, which is, if you don't say anything, you can't be quoted. And I think that's really important from the perspective of whatever industry you're in, whatever you feel like you need to give an opinion to something. Actually, we don't. It's the ego that takes over. So if we can start really working on our ego and recognizing that, that will save a lot of hassle and energy misspent for living towards your dreams. Fear is definitely the biggest factor that stops people. So I say to them, work out what it is that's the worst that could happen. Because what have you got to lose? It's like the inverted bucket list. If we're, you know, we're all going to die. I don't know if that's a surprise to everyone, but we are. Totally. You know, yeah. Birth, journey, death. It's happening, people. So therefore, what are you going to do with that piece in between? And really recognizing that. And then the last thing would be being grateful, having gratitude every day. I get up in the morning and I am grateful that I get to walk into a nice shower, as long as my daughter's cleaned it, food in my fridge, as long as I've gone to the supermarket. I'm so grateful, and keep that in perspective. So I think that's what it's about. Anything's possible.
Awesome. Well, Elizabeth, I know hour's already gone by. It's been really quick. It went by quick. So I want to say thank you for coming. So again, one more time, they could get your new book. Again, it's called Living with Intentions. One more time, how could they get that?
Yeah, Living with Intention on all platforms, 19th of December, along with the podcast, which is available on all platforms. And on my Medicine with Words Instagram and Medicine with Words TikTok and website.
Awesome. And then you got the Hunt Club out on Tubi. Karalik.
Yep.
And then you got coming out
Karma's a Bitch
coming out with your Isabella Blake Thomas.
That's right.
Who wrote it. And then anything else?
I don't know. I don't think so. All my Instagrams. Oh, Elizabeth_B_T.
Okay. So one more time.
Elizabeth_B_T.
Awesome. And then your production company one more time?
Mother and Daughter Ent.
Mother and Dr. Ent. All right.
Yeah, well, entertainment.
So thank you again for coming on. God bless you. You know, I adore you. I adore you guys.
And I adore you.
Brad Adams, socials really quick.
It's just Brad Adams. I'm going to say it's on all platforms.
Okay.
That's kind of a just whatever. I hope so. But,
And Louis Delgado.
You should say Google me. Brad Adams. Okay, no. At Louis Delgado.
I did actually say that the other day on a date. I said, if you want to find out about me, just Google me. Yeah,
the good and the bad.
Well, thank you, Brad Adams, for coming back. Louis Delgado.
Thank you.
Louis Delgado, thank you. And then thank you again, Elizabeth Blake Thomas. Best of luck with everything. Congratulations and all your years of success. And God bless you with everything that you do. And please say hello to your daughter
for
me.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hope to see you soon. Again, and I want to say thank you all for tuning in. I love and adore all you guys and all you guys' listenership. I really, really grateful on everything that you guys done. And again, check out Elizabeth Blake Thomas and then her new book. Again, it's Living with Intentions. And then her films, Hunt Club, Karalik, and then her new movie called Karma's a Bitch. All right, God bless you guys. I'd like to end off my show. Matthew 19:26. In man, things are possible. In God, all things are possible. And we are out. Bye-bye.